Lewisham and abroad. He's come to speak to us about the happiness course that he's developed over the last few years and the last few years while he was in church leadership. So please give him a warm welcome. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Are you going to be able to see the screens? If you can't, then you might want to think about where you sit. But we'll have a chance. We've got about 50 minutes or so. But during that time, we'll have chance just in pairs or whatever, just to chat as well. So it's not all me talking. I think this is called the happy life, isn't it? So everybody wants to be happy by the looks of it. They've come in here. But specifically, this session really is also kind of a taster session, if you like, for the happiness course, which over the last few years, working with Lability, have developed and hope to work more with over the next phase. So it's a bit of a taster, and I hope you'll have the chance to find out more about it afterwards. I'll say a bit more about the course itself at the end, but to just give you some idea what I'm thinking of in this session, things like this. What do we mean by happiness? Is happiness important? Are we happy in this country? Are we, perhaps more importantly, are we getting more happy? Are we getting less happy? And if not, then why might that be? What part does faith play in happiness, in well-being, which is perhaps a better term to use? And then, as I say, at the end, talking a bit about the happiness course. Now, I don't know if you remember the Green Cross Code. Do you remember that? Green Cross Code, who remembers that? What was that? It's road safety, isn't it? Teach your children. Stop at the curb, look around, listen, and if all is clear, then walk across. So we're going to use that as a little bit of we use it on the course as a bit of a fun guide through. Stop, look, listen, walk. So stop we're going to do. We're going to have a little icebreaker. Then we're going to look around at society just very briefly. What do people think? What's happening? Then we're going to listen a couple of DVDs, clips, to what some of the psychologists say about well-being and so on, etc. And then hopefully at the end, an opportunity to walk out of the tent into the rest of our lives with one or two practical suggestions, or at least reflections. So you're ready to do a bit of Green Cross coding. The first thing to do and stop, if we go on to the next one, is a bit of a fun exercise, really, for you to do on your own, perhaps if you don't mind, in pairs if you want to, after a bit of reflection. This is what it says. Choose one of those. It might be it's not entirely appropriate, but over the last 24 hours, how have you been? It's Greenbelt, so you must be very happy, mustn't you? But maybe not. Which weather symbol best represents how you've been feeling over the last 24 hours? Is it sunny? Is it kind of sunny intervals, but a bit of, you know, some of the other stuff? Or has it been pouring with rain, with storms? Just a little bit of a icebreaker to get you thinking in it. So have a think. Scribble it down, if you like, one of those symbols, or one that most reflects how you've been. And then just do that for half a minute. And then just turn to your neighbour, if you like. Just tell them, if you're happy to divulge that kind of thing, just take a minute to chat. Just a bit of an icebreaker for a minute. Okay. Whoops, that was loud, wasn't it? Okay. Hopefully that might get you, either get you into a happy mood or maybe plunge you into the depths of depression. I hope not. But we might as well have a reality check. Well, if that was stop, and, you know, the good thing about Greenbelt, it does give you a chance just to get away from home situation, just to reflect a bit, and often times like this are good opportunities just to think about where our lives are going. Stop. Let's go on to the next one, which is the look. Let's look around and ask the question, the next one, Trevor. In our society, next slide, that's it. Who's happy? Not so much in this tent, but who's happy in our society, in the UK? Let's go on to the next slide. It's got to be these people, surely. Next one. It's the beautiful. It's Cosmo. Yeah, hang on a sec. Yeah, that one. The 100's most beautiful. They've got to be the happy people. Next one. Or maybe the celebrities, the stars. They're the happy people, surely. They've got it all. Next one. The rich businessmen who own just about everything. They've got to be the happy ones, surely. Next one. Or the footballers with the hair transplants. That must be the most significant thing. These people, well, maybe, maybe not. Some of these people, not necessarily. So you kind of get a little bit of hint where we might be going over the next few minutes. That's them. What about the majority of us? Most of us, not in those categories. What's happening in our society? Look at some of the challenges. Let's go to the first one. Stress. You got any stress? Brought it with you? Left it behind? No, stay on the stress one, Trev. The most common cause of long-term sickness, absence, massive issue. In fact, these next four slides, the health professionals, people know about these things, attach the word epidemic to this one, to the next one, depression. The World Health Organization produced some years ago what they call the table of the 15 top diseases affecting people in the world, global disease burden, they call it. And 1990, so about 20-ish years ago, the ones at the top were mostly diseases, as it were, of the third world, of developing countries. But increasingly, by 2020, just a few years' time, it's anticipated that depression that was further down the list 20 years ago will have moved up to the second most significant disease in the world. So not just in this country, but across the world. Epidemic is the term that they're using. Next one. Anxiety, it's a happiness course, for goodness sake. But we better start with where we're at, really. Epidemic of anxiety, people talk about that, now being described as epidemic. Loneliness. If you go to a website called the Campaign to End Loneliness, lots of very, very, well, disturbing actually, but very real statistics there, that loneliness affects an increasing number of people, not just amongst the elderly, but amongst young people as well. Again, the Minister for State last year spoke in terms of epidemic proportions. More and more people living alone, and it's a big issue. They did they did a survey 40 years ago on in the jargon they call social capital. In other words, the levels of relationship, trust, community, all the rest of it. Well, social capital. And they found, and then they did it 40 years later recently, and they found that even the weakest communities 40 years ago in these terms were stronger than even the strongest community today in social capital. So this is a big issue, and it's not going away, is it? Okay, let's go on to the next one. A recent survey of the Western countries or richer countries found that the UK had the least happy children out of 21st out of 21. I think it's since then it's increased a little bit or improved a little bit, but still quite a serious issue. Next one. And debt. The average debt, including mortgages per household, is £58,000, whereas the average savings per household is something like just under £1,000. So these are major challenges, aren't they? And they're not getting any smaller. Okay, let's go on to the next one. So I've invited you here to be happy today, so this is really helping, isn't it? Well, we will get there. That's looking around just very briefly. There's loads more you could say, obviously, but just taking a bit of a snapshot at our society. What about listening? Listening. Go on to the next one, Trevor. What do we mean by happiness anyway? Now, the word happy can mean lots of different things, can't it? In fact, I'm not sure it's that useful a term, because often we think of smiley faces, and the response to that is, well, actually, I don't feel like that today. So if it's simply an expression of how I feel at any given moment, that's actually quite superficial. So there's been a lot of research that's gone in over the last 20 years or so into well-being, happiness, psychologists, and so on, and they've found out some extraordinary things. Perhaps you've heard of something called positive psychology. That mean to anything to anybody? Martin Seligman, a very rich source. He's done a great service, really, clinical psychologist in the States, and he and his friends, his colleagues, have done loads and loads of research. I'll mention a little bit as we go along. But here's a some pictures coming up. Show the next first picture, just this first one. What they've found, as it were, very simply, but I think very profoundly, and these next three pictures, I think, are a good template. They certainly are for the whole course, the happiness course, as we've developed it. Here's the first one. Can you see those guys there? They look happy to you? What's going on? Where are they? They in Greenbelt? No, they're probably in some nice sunny place. They're on holiday, maybe. How much do we know about their lives? Just by that picture. Right now, they're having a really good time, aren't they? But we don't know what their family background is necessarily, whether their parents are in debt, whatever. But right now, they're feeling pretty happy. So if you like the most superficial level, if you like, just the now, and very much related to physical well-being, is the one that they talk about. Now, what would you call that? If you thought of a label to describe their state, what might you say? What word would describe them? Excited? Pardon? Active? Carefree? Good one. Elated? Well, the word that these guys have used, and nothing very complicated about, is pleasure, the pleasant life, okay, which is primarily a material, physical thing, a sun on your face, full belly, nice glass of wine, whatever it is, the pleasant life, physical, material. Go on to the next one. Who's that? That's our Helen, isn't it? Now, she look happy? Why do you think she's happy? She's got a... She's got an Oscar a few years ago. And do you get an Oscar for just going on holiday? A couple of weeks? A little bit more to it than that. You have to work pretty hard and for quite a long period of time, more than a couple of weeks down at the Costa del Sol. So this level of happiness, she's happy as well, but it's not quite the same happiness, is it? They call that, well, what would you call that? What kind of, she's worked at this pretty hard. How long has she been an actress? Achievement, success. Yep, loads of words you could use to describe that, but it's certainly a bit of a deeper level than the other one. Well, they use the word engagement. What they mean by that is something that involves some investment. You don't just have a good time physically, it involves more of you. You're investing in job, work, relationship, and a sense, of course, of achievement. But it applies to relationships, and there are some things a bit more satisfying simply than just the moment. Okay, so pleasure and engagement. Who's this? Not the baby. Mother Teresa. What do we know about her? Where does she work? In a hotel in a nice. She worked with the most disadvantaged people in Calcutta. She look happy? Yeah, I think she's happy. What kind of happiness is she experiencing? What word would you use? Joy? Contentment? Fulfillment? Good one. Yeah. Well, the word they use is very simple, this illustrates, is meaning. Pleasure, engagement, meaning. And actually, was it comfortable where she lived and worked? No, not at all. Very sacrificial. So, in a way, it's really helpful, isn't it, to have that kind of... They're all happy. They all look fairly happy. They're smiling, at least. But the level of happiness isn't necessarily the same, is it? So when we get a bit deeper, we scratch the surface, and we see, you know, what's going on here, then we find, actually, happy is not quite adequate. Well-being says a little bit more. But anyway, it's worth thinking about. Just pause at that minute, at that moment. And let me go on to the next one. Here we go. Looking at these three pictures, and we'll just revisit them a sec, can you think of times when you, personally, I'm only going to give you a minute to think about this, You personally have experienced pleasure. Well, I hope there's one or two times in your life, but also engagement, something a bit deeper in work, in relationships, and so on, but also that sense of purpose and meaning when you know that your life is counting for something. Okay, those three levels. Think of one example each. You might want to share that with your person next to you. You've got a minute to do all that, okay? Go. All right. Always irritating, isn't it, when somebody gives you opportunity to chat and then they stop you halfway through. Sorry about that, but we're a bit time limited. Okay, well, I hope you managed to think up something from each of those categories, particularly, obviously, the last one, the last two, because in a way, I'll mention this a bit more at the end with the course, because obviously we have time, a bit more time in four sessions to go into it. That's kind of like a bit of a template for the whole thing, a journey from one to the next. Anyway, okay, so we've thought about happiness, thought about some of the challenges to well-being, we've talked about, you know, what kinds of happiness there are. And the question then is, so what? What value in being happy? It's nice to be happy, but is there any more to it than that? Well, a few years ago, there was a series on the Beeb called The Happiness Formula, Mark Easton. You may have seen it. Anybody see it? And really, really helpful. Here's a snippet from the beginning of one of the sessions. And in it, he's addressing that question, or at least the psychologists and others that he's interviewing are talking about that question. What's the point? Have a look out for a guy in a red shirt called Dr. Diener, Ed Diener, American, towards the end of the clip, and he'll talk about smoking and happiness and stuff. Try and think about the number of years that he quotes, okay? But there's some very interesting stuff. About 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Okay, so how are your telomeres? Dr. Redshirt, Dr. Diener, what did he say about happiness and stuff? Do you remember how many years added on? 9 years. What about smoking? What did he say about that, taking off? 3 years, maybe 6 years. That's incredible, isn't it? So if you're a happy non-smoker, could make 15 years difference, couldn't it? But these are scientists. These are serious. Oh, did you like the chap at the end? He was very scientific. And this is biologists speaking. These are not sort of happy-go-lucky types. They're serious scientists. So this is a serious business. So here's my question. Are we happy in this country? And perhaps more relevantly, are we getting happier or are we getting less happy? Because it seems like it's quite an important question, doesn't it? What do you think? More happy, less happy? Well, yeah, let me, in a second, don't go yet. I'll show you a couple of graphs which are quite suggestive. A very good book on this subject by a lady called Sonia Lyubomirsky. I won't ask you to spell it. She's another of these psychologists. She's written a book called The How of Happiness. The How of Happiness. Very readable, paperback, and I'll show you a slide of hers in a bit. But she says, page 25, what is pretty early on, that people who are happy, that is to say, well-disposed in life, not just smiley faces, but have a disposition that is happier, or at least an outlook, actually in terms of relationships and also in terms of general life, tend to be more flexible in their thinking. They tend to have a wider network of friends, loads of different things that actually has very profound effects. Okay, how happiness, we'll come back to that in a sec. Let me ask that question again, though. What about our country? Show the next slide. There it is. You may not be able to see it at the back, but this is from 1973 to about 2001-2. So over about 30 years or so, the green, or the rather red line, despite what's happened in the last few years, a bit of a dip, generally speaking, wealth of this nation, gross domestic product, has gone up. In fact, since the Second World War, generally speaking, it's gone upwards. In other words, as a whole, this society has got richer, by and large, over the last many decades. However, when they've done numerous, you know, samplings and studies about how satisfied, how happy, as it were, people are, that's the green line. Stays pretty static. In fact, there's some suggestions that in recent years it started to dip down, if anything. That's called a paradox. The richer we get, you might expect that the happier we should get. At least that's the commonly accepted view, isn't it? But not necessarily. Show the next one. And that is society. This is personal. So on the bottom there is increasing wealth to the right, and again, increasing life satisfaction. Now, the interesting thing is that in terms of going from not very much to a little bit more, actually happiness, life satisfaction, well-being, if you like, does increase quite significantly. But it gets to a certain point, 10,000, 15,000, £50,000, whatever, where actually it begins to tail off. That is to say, you can increase and go on in increasing the amount of money and therefore wealth, possessions you have, but happiness or well-being does not increase in proportion. It's another way of looking at the same thing. So we're in a society where some fairly interesting things go on. Go on to the next one. And all the evidence seems to suggest this kind of thing, that despite the generally accepted view that the good life consists primarily in having more of what? Stuff of various kinds. Actually, what we find is that increasingly, the more that happens, the less impactful it becomes. Now, if there's nothing else we take away from this kind of thing, it's worth taking that away, isn't it? Give you a couple of reasons why that might be, that the people who look into these things come up with. One is, and it's not very complicated, but these are the reasons they suggest. Number one is that we are very adaptable. That's good. It's good to be physically adaptable. There's virtually nowhere, almost nowhere on the planet where humans cannot live, and so physically we're adaptable. But also emotionally, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, we are adaptable beings, which is excellent. Here's the rub. We not only adapt to difficulties and challenges and problems, because we're going to go on to the next slide. They don't pay him enough, really, do they?
They don't pay him at all.
At this point, let me just pause again. You might think, well, I don't know what I think about that. That's okay. You know, this is Greenbelt. You can say this and that. You can say other things. But there's quite a lot of evidence for what I've just said. If that's the case, remember the paradox, the increase in wealth, the material, but no really corresponding increase in well-being, happiness anyway. Let me ask these questions. Have a little ponder for half a minute of this. Takes a bit longer to really give it its due. If our society has become more and more wealthy over the last 50 years, but less and less happy, have we gone wrong somewhere? Have we been sold a lie about what the good life really is? And is there a better way to live? And secondly, if material things aren't necessarily the number one, remember the three pictures? So happiness, why do so many of us spend so much time? Now you've got a minute to discuss that, okay? Because we've got to be out of here soon. So go for it. Pick one of those if you like and have a natter. Take it away afterwards for coffee. Okay. All right. Sorry. Again, it's almost insulting you, isn't it, to give you a minute and a half those very deep questions. But I'm trying to prod and provoke and encourage us to kind of think it through a little bit. So take these questions away and ponder them some more. Let me take it on, though. Because so far, it doesn't seem like much of a happy life that I've been talking about. Thanks, we've had how many? 36 minutes, and you've really not helped me at all. Told me how miserable we all are. However, there is hope. There is always hope, isn't there? And the well-being research, I'll show you in the next slide in a second, it gives actually quite a lot of hope. There have been a bunch of things that they've discovered that show that relatively simple things can make quite a profound difference. That's the next slide. But the second thing there is one of those is faith. Now, I'm not a person of faith just because I want to get happy, but it works the other way around. Somebody of faith, statistically, although you might say, well, I can introduce lots of miserable Christians, thank you. Right? That may well be true. I know one or two. That isn't quite the point we're talking about in generalities here. We'll look at that in a second. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, this is, remember I mentioned Professor Sonia Lyubomirsky? Well, that's how you spell her name. She was one of them, right? This is actually taken from that book, The How of Happiness. The other name you might want to jot down is Martin Seligman, S-E-L-I-G, Seligman. He was the guy who kicked off this positive psychology, and she's one of his mates, really. Anyway, in this book, it's built around these 12, what you might call, interventions, based on the research. So it isn't kind of just a few fables put together. This is based on empirical research. That she says there's 12 things. There's undoubtedly more, but she picks out 12. And if you don't have time to jot them all down, then don't worry. You can buy the book, can't you? Or you can come and chat to me afterwards. But I'll pick out one or two. Gratitude. Isn't that interesting? People who express gratitude, generally speaking, statistically, are happier. How about that? Not too difficult, is it? People who, number six, forgive, tend to be more able to sustain life. People who nurture relationships, practice acts of kindness. This is not rocket science. This is science, but it's not rocket science. It's actually stuff that many of us, through our lives, through our faith, through intuitively, to be honest, understand that. And I find this really encouraging. You don't have to get a university degree to practice acts of kindness or to forgive. It may not be easy to do, but it's a profound significance. Savoring. Number nine, practice religion, spirituality, and some others. That's interesting, isn't it? If you run out of time, don't worry. At the end, we'll show it again, perhaps. Increase flow. Yeah, flow. Just a quick mention. As a psychological term, simply that means when you are into something, an activity, it might be reading a book. It might be a hobby that you do. It might be something to do with your work, etc., etc. Often we find ourselves in a state of flow. That means we're so absorbed, we hardly notice that two hours has passed, and we've just lost that sense of self-consciousness. That's a state of flow, and it's a good thing to do, and it produces stuff. So, hobbies. We're just going to show another video now. It's called Enough. It's produced by Tear Fund and others, and I hope it's the right one. See what you think. All right. Well, we'll defer the chatting till afterwards. Take that away. Loads of stuff there, isn't it? Enough. It's quite a profound message, isn't it? Enough. Enough. And actually, if we're talking about happiness and ways forward, that's part of the answer, isn't it? Enough. Let me just finish off with just a few more slides. Let's go on to the next one. About faith, I kind of hinted at that. And I have here some just a few examples of some of the research, some of the scholarly research that's gone into the relationship of faith with well-being, happiness, health, and so on. It's very extensive, actually, and these days, quite convincing, really, that people who not only have some vague knowledge, but practice their faith, well, these things can be said about them. Again, not everybody, because, you know, I could introduce you to somebody who says they have faith and is certainly not exemplifying that, but generally speaking, it has been found to be the case that not only in terms of behavior, but in terms of health and well-being. In fact, the next slide gives a few quotes. Some of the names that I'll mention: Harold Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G, an American psychiatrist, Irish psychiatrist called Patricia Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, Abigail Rian Evans, theologian and health worker in Canada. This is quotes from them. They say this: the strongest evidence indicates that religious attendance is positively associated with psychological well-being. Indeed, this is the nearly unanimous conclusion of scores of studies. Indicators of religious devotion are linked with well-being. So consistent, this is Abigail Rhiannon-Evans, she says, so consistent are the beneficial effects of religious commitment on health that doctors, she said, this is pretty strong, doctors should incorporate such perspectives into their treatment plans. Do you fancy going to your GP and telling, this is what Abigail Evans says. You're not so sure about that, but interesting, interesting. Next slide. Conclusion. Your church can make people, I don't know whether it does, but your church can make people happier. All right, we'll move on to the next one quickly. Let me just finish off with this one and then just give you a reflection at the end. As Trevor briefly introduced me at the beginning, over the last many years working in City London in Lewisham, seeking to engage with the community that our church was involved with, trying to find ways that not only conveyed the message, not just in its spoken terms, but in its holistic way, but in ways, crucially, that actually was relevant to where people were at. Where are people at? Issues of relationship, issues of work, issues of stress. Well, we saw that at the beginning, didn't we? Issues of marriage, children, parenting. And so we developed a program. We called it Healthy Broccoli. We lived in Broccoli. Healthy, different spelling, but anyway. And Healthy Broccoli, which was a bunch of different things, but included some courses like parenting, money management, stress management, and then one that we devised ourselves, really, because we were trying to engage, especially to try and speak the language that the 95% of people around us who wouldn't darken the door of a church actually were experiencing and speaking themselves. Language like happiness and well-being, like relationships, like sense of meaning and purpose and so on. Interesting. And then I came across this positive psychology. Oh, that's interesting. They seem to be speaking the same language of forgiveness and nurturing relationships and gratitude. Oh, I've come across that before. So we began to develop what later became known as the happiness course. Just four very simple, really, sessions, but aiming to be as participatory as possible, using the sorts of stuff that I've just been talking about, making it appropriate. Actually, if you were to come along to one of those courses, you wouldn't hear the name Jesus mentioned particularly. You might hear faith as one of those things that make people happy. But encouraging people to go on a bit of a journey, that's what we say at the beginning. You're going to go on a journey here, a personal journey, starting off with what makes you happy and ending up with who am I, why am I here? I haven't mentioned God, but I'm just trying to encourage people in language that people are using themselves to go a bit deeper than often where our society, and that's the second session about what our society often promotes as the good life. It's primarily a material thing. But as we've seen, actually, that's only the most superficial level of happiness, well-being. And it's relationships and a sense of meaning and purpose that really at the heart of it. All the lists that people ever write. So, done it numerous times, seeking to engage a little bit more deeply with other people as well. So if you were to come along or at least stay in touch with us in the livability team, then there's more on that than I've got time to say today. We're down in the G-Force, and there's a stall there that you can come and chat to us on that. Let me just finish with walking, which is the next slide. So we've stopped, we've looked, we've listened. We're going to walk out of there in a moment at 10 to 5. But if you want to stay and chat, that's fine. I think, you know, although they need to set up for the next one, we can chat a bit, can't we, if you want to. Go on to the next one. Two things. One, just take a moment on your own here. Of all the things, and I've thrown a lot at you, I appreciate that, because of the time. But of the things that we've been thinking about, that maybe you've been reflecting, what is it, maybe number one, the one thing that you would most like to follow up a little bit? Maybe it means doing a bit of research on it, doing a bit of thinking. Take a moment just to reflect, okay, according to the slide. You may want to scribble something down. And then there's one final thing in a moment. All right, we'll take that away. The one final slide there is it's not just a matter of thinking or reflecting, though it starts there. It also needs, doesn't it, as in all things, to be reflected in what we do So here's my final question to you to take away. Thinking about all these things, is there one thing that you can do? Remember what I said about gratitude, forgiveness, for goodness sake, or whatever, relationships, flow, loads of stuff, buy a book. Is there one thing you can do that you will do either as you step outside this tent or as you go back home on Monday that you're actually going to do? Write it down, maybe, or at least make a mental note. I will do something to make a difference for me and for others. Not just personally, but in other contexts. I've written down work, it could be your neighborhood, it could be church, it could be friendship, whatever. See what I mean? Just trying to encourage us to take some steps forward in all this. And as I say, it might be simply to ponder it some more, reflect, to do more research, etc., etc. Last slide is where we started. So thanks very much. Just gone 10:02. Feel free to stick around a bit longer if you like. Go to our stall down there. Enjoy the evening. Thanks very much.